I know you got something to tell me, so I'm going to let you do it. I'd like to start this out with the I ams. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. In Espanol, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Well, isn't that wonderful? These truths are always with us, and we must strive to keep them there. It's easy to not do so, I guess, because you can get distracted with the many, many things of this world. I just wanted to make a note that Jaylene had something to share. I know I mentioned that, but what she had to share about how God has blessed her because of her abundant sharing is just fantastic. And I encourage you to anticipate her sharing and her information because it will really, really bless your lives. She's the one that got that sparked this interest in me to have people share because she said she was going to. And she told Lynn and me a little bit about what she had received, and it was great, just fantastic stuff. And then I thought, we went back to Laramie after Casper. That's where we met with Jaylene up in Wyoming. When we got back to Laramie, then Catherine told us this stuff. I said, well, heck, she ought to share too. So maybe we've started a good thing. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. I'd like you to be there so I can get into it when it's time. Isn't the Word of God great? Isn't it nice to know that you always can turn to God's Word, no matter what you're going through in life, that you can always trust in God, that you can always keep Him first, that you can always apply the principles in the Word, and that they don't change. So you might change, but you know, you can always come back to the Word because it doesn't change. And it will always work for you the same as it did in the past. It's absolutely wonderful. You must learn how to care for your soul. One third of your being. When one third of you isn't right, the sum of the whole can never be complete. Sweet rest for your souls. That's what we're going to talk about today. I can't help but think that the 23rd Psalm was in the forefront of Jesus' mind. What better words to help one through the hardest of times? What comfort even in the easiest of times? And certainly what safety and security in all of Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's read that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, that thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Let's take a few moments to discuss something wise and prudent. Rest for the soul. Matthew chapter 11, and we'll begin with verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Thou hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. One of the most powerful messages to men's souls came from Jesus himself. He told people that if they would take his useful yoke, couple them with him, and learn of or understand him, then they would find rest for their souls. Only Christ can offer a spiritual calm, a sure soul rest. Only when you are at rest can you fully release your soul potentials, and they are many. All activity of life focuses on reaching and releasing the goodness of a man's soul. I've heard tell that most men's souls are wonderful, but there are some bad ones. Do you know that prison systems work to realign improper thinking and actions with goodness that may be in a man's soul? Do you know that marriage counseling works to realign improper thinking and action with the goodness in two souls? Society and its rules and expectations work to keep the goodness of a man's soul manifest by free will. Work ethics and policies guide employees according to the goodness of their souls. Peer groups establish behavior guidelines and pressures to allow members to manifest a certain set of emotional characteristics. college rules guide students via proper behavior regulations in order that the goodness of their souls may become and stay manifest. Religions set up their systems to ensure that their members act and feel a certain way, ensuring a manifestation of the goodness of their souls. Codes of conduct are all geared to cause the manifestation of the goodness of souls. Codes of federal regulations, Hammurabi, ethics, criminal procedures, chivalry, arms, business ethics, Bushido, baseball, accounting practices, dress, discipline, fair competition and practice, agricultural practices, honor, journalism, law, medical ethics, masculinity, research ethics, thug life, the Underground Railroad, clans, all are designed to achieve a certain manifestation of a goodness of soul standard. Without such codes, man simply could not be compelled to maintain goodness. In a very frail way, these codes seek to provide some sort of spiritual fulfillment to the participant. Tongue in cheek, of course. What is it that gets in the way of the manifestation of a soul's goodness and prevents it from being manifest? The answer is the mind. Well, why is that? Because the mind is the gatekeeper to the soul. It controls all access, entrances, exits, and it must be controlled in order to activate and release the soul. Society has set up many controls designed to help ensure the manifestation of the goodness of men's souls. All behavior systems are designed to penetrate into the life of man in order to reach his or her soul. These systems are designed to impress certain things upon the mind in order to cause the mind to release the soul's potential. In this quest to manifest such goodness, man finds the need to allow his soul to rest. Jesus' message here was exactly that. He wanted to help people by giving them access to the resting of soul. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we find a very unique reference to the purifying of the soul. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, Peter's message was to a man focused on purification of the soul by the truth of God's word. The manifestation of this single most vital act is the manifestation of unfeigned love of the brethren, a serious matter for a pure and fervent heart. The obeying portion of this act is something that takes place in man's mind. not in man's soul. And remember, the mind is the controller of what gets into or comes out of the soul. And in this case, when man introduces and obeys God's word into and with the mind, the soul becomes purified. It just happens. It's kind of neat. This great act of purification is something that God desires for all men. We've spent so much of our biblical life learning about being spiritual. And we work at operating the nine manifestations and being pure in what we call the spiritual sense. But God wants us to be pure in the soul sense. That's different. And it's new for you. But it's easy, because all you have to do is obey the word. All you have to do is introduce the word into the mind so that the mind can control the soul's potential. And by doing that, the soul is purified. It's quite interesting. Man, or God designed man this certain way, with the mind as that gatekeeper of the soul. And when man introduces the truth into his mind, he begins to reap tremendous soul benefits, including a love-filled life for him and others. This love potential is stored within the soul, like a battery. It's there, but cannot be released until the mind obeys God's word. Isn't that neat? Turn to Psalm 116. Bet you never thought it was so simple. It all works together. And it all works together perfectly. All you have to do is take the right steps. If you take the right steps, you're guaranteed the right results. Psalm 116, starting with the very first verse. I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell, that would be the grave, got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The message of soul rest, soul deliverance, soul rest, rang true far back in time, as recorded in Psalm 116. Modern religion, though, has contaminated this message by causing people to think in terms of eternal soul rest, eternal soul deliverance. But a soul's rest is limited to this life. This soul's rest is for when man is alive and in need of God's protection and care. In verse 7, Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. The soul was told to return unto the rest of God, to go back into God's bounty and supply, to seek after that. The message to the soul, again to find rest, applies only to this life, to the land of the living. What single act causes a soul to return unto the rest of God? To sum it up briefly, mind control. Man must control his thoughts and direct his life according to God's minute instructions in his word. Well, what instructions are set forth in Psalm 116? To love God. To pray to God. Tell him your needs. Why won't God listen to your prayers? To call upon God as long as you live. To face sorrow, death, trouble, and pains head on. Don't be afraid of them. To call on God and ask him to deliver your soul. And don't forget, there is no eternity in that message. We are in the land of the living, and it is for this time. To believe that God is gracious, righteous, and merciful, and that he will deliver your soul in the land of the living. To know that God guards you at all times, no matter your state of affairs in this life. Why, even at your lowest point, God will still help you up and out. You must control your life's directions and direct your soul directly into God's rest. And why is this? Because God's bounty will take care of you. God will deliver your soul from death and anything less as well. God will protect you from sorrows. God will direct your steps so that you don't fall short of his bounty and goodness. That's why. And finally, as long as you live, walk before God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Bet you never thought the word was so practical. But these are his minute instructions, and they work for all of time. Proverbs 29, starting in verse 15. You're going to love this section. I hope it's a revelation to you. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'd like to say something about our children's generation and your souls. Your caretakers, when you are old, will be those who are children now. Mark them by a 20 to 30 year spread. They will be your caretakers. These little souls will be responsible to care for you when you can't care for yourself. How many of them today would you trust with your life? How many of those little souls do you already love or reject because of how they control or don't control their minds. This is a most serious matter. If you had to choose 7 men to raise your children, and then ask them to give your children each their most important advice, would you trust that they could truly advise them even at all? Would it be difficult to choose 7 men of quality character and meaning? What about choosing 7 children? Generations apart from you. Children who one day will be your generation's caretakers. Can you choose 7 children now? Those children you see today, whether kind or wild, are already set in their ways and generally will not change. If they obey their elders now, they will obey God then. If they are wild and reprehensible now, they will be that way then as well, uncaring to both you and them. Our lives are literally in our children's hands. And we have raised them to be such and such. Is that really what we wanted? And will eventually need? The message to parents and elders now is to never leave a child to himself. The resulting shame cannot be undone. These children are considered wicked, and they will multiply. A parent is instructed to correct his son. Correction will bring rest and delight to your soul. This correction brings vision to a new generation and introduces happiness into many generations to come. Failure to follow these rules certainly will cause some to perish, and it will create generations of unrest. Raise your children and children's children well, for one day you will be in their care. Don't be afraid to correct with the word. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6, and this is where we'll close today. God has made it clear in his word how to ensure a restful soul. It is only man who rejects this and causes the unrest. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they say, we will not walk therein. I'd like to read that again with the little additives. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old, the concealed, the out of mind, the eternal paths. Where is the good, the sweet way? The sweet way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Man's world of modern ways and means is a primary reason his soul is so troubled and tired today. God's specific instructions to his man, instructions that allow him to find this soul rest, is to search for the eternal ways already laid out to mankind and to follow them. He calls his eternal pathways sweet, good ways, and their pathways. You can't see the pathway in the sky that the mighty jetliner takes, but oh, there is a pathway. And I tell you that there's a pathway for everything of God. You must find it and follow it. God wants man to hunt them down, to find them, and to walk in them. It is in these old sweet ways of living that man will find rest to his soul. And the sweetest path ever given to man was salvation's pathway. Jesus Christ is the true pathway to rest. In this, love God, pray, call upon God as long as you live. Face all troubles head on, without fear, believing that God is gracious, righteous, and merciful, and that He will deliver your soul every day. Know that God always guards you. Control your life's direction and direct your soul into the very rest of God. And as long as you live, walk before God. Your soul's quest should be to enter into this rest and then to remain there throughout your entire life. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's like at least twofold, not only entering into it, but remaining.